teleport with Tess and Daniel to a place beyond time, space, and imagination. Although our world has had visitors from that one, this is the first time in history that it's gone the other way. Tesseract will transform you in mind-stretching ways. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph, available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon or at authorstock.com. Available wherever great books are sold.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
We're welcoming into the studio today our friend, Evangelist Brian Norman from St. Louis, Missouri. Brother Norman, it's been so good to get to know you. And folks, I'll tell you, he has quite a sense of humor. He's had me cracking up all day. Welcome to the studio, Brother Norman.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here, Brother Joseph.
Brother Norman is preaching for us a healing and miracle campaign this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And as you hear this broadcast, we have had church this morning and we'll be having church tonight. We invite you to come out to Christian Apostolic Church tonight at 6 o'clock. We're located on North 20th Street, just past Clarksburg's Northview neighborhood, just before you come into Arlington, right where the sign says, Welcome to Arlington. That's where our church is located, and God is doing tremendous things. Brother Norman, tell us a little bit about some of the miracles that you've seen God do.
Well, God's been so gracious. It's just been a pleasure to witness Him do the things that He's done. Been favored to be able to be in many meetings and see God do wonderful things. Meetings where hundreds of people, their own testimony, have been healed. We've seen the lame walk. We've seen blinded eyes open. We've seen deaf ears unstopped. And, of course, numerous other ailments, gross, disappear. And the thing that's amazing to me, and I cannot stress enough, that this is not something that I've done or that any man has done, but this is something that Jesus has done. He went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, went about healing all manners of infirmities and sicknesses and diseases. These various statements are made in the Gospels. I remember one meeting, Pastor Joseph, I was in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas, preaching for the First United Pentecostal Church there. Pastor Timothy Potter at the time, a few years ago, and we'd had several nights of a healing and miracle campaign, and several had been healed of their own testimony. Several had received the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues, like promised in Acts 2 and 4, and also Acts 2 and 39. And the last night, I just couldn't get a sermon. Couldn't get a sermon for anything. And I knew the closer it came time to preach, this was unusual. And between the time that I left my chair and the few 3 to 4 steps I took to the pulpit, the Lord spoke to me. And He told me, He said, tell all of them to come to the altar, and I'll heal every one of them. Now, folks, I'd been preaching the straight word of God for several nights. I believe that's primary. But I also believe God gives confirmation. I shared with those people that night what God told me, quoting James 1 and 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That night, as they came forward, blinded eyes were open. Lame people walked. People that had to be helped to the front, that had walkers and still needed one or two people to hold their arms on top of that, through their walkers, after we said, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, be healed over them, like the Bible says we should in our prayers. We laid hands on them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover, Mark 16 says. They literally, one lady, 83 years old, threw her walker and ran around the church.
Awesome.
It's a powerful thing. Another lady, Sister Ozella, she had been blinded due to an accident for close to 15 years. She was legally blind in her right eye, completely blind in her left eye. God instantly opened up her left eye to see. And here's the amazing thing about this. We prayed for people for 2 hours. I mean, joints going back in place, just unreal. God speaking to people, speaking to situations, healing confirmations. The amazing thing about that meeting is I got a call from that pastor 4 months later. You see, at the end of that 2 hours of praying for people, that Ozella, Sister Ozella, came forward again And I went up to her. I just felt like I needed to ask her, you know, her still being up there, I should say, at the altar area of the church. I said, "Is there anything else you would like from the Lord?" And she, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, not quoting, she said, "I don't have no complaints." And of course, I'm thinking, you know, you came in with a blinded eye and God opened it. You've definitely got your money's worth in coming to this service, you know. It's almost a little humorous looking back. But you know what she told me? Here she was, 78 years of age at the time. Okay, I got the details after that service about her. 78 years of age at that time. And you know what? She said, "I can see out of my blinded eye, but do you think God could give me 20/20 vision?" You understand what I'm saying to you? A blinded eye that God opened. And you know what she wanted to know? How many people at 78 have 20/20 vision? Nobody. God opened her blinded eyes to be like a normal 78-year-old. This lady wanted more. You know, we need more people like that.
That's right.
That want all that God can do. You know what I did? I laid my hands on her. I prayed in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, be healed by the authority of the blood shed at Calvary. And I shared with her what I felt. You know, the Bible talks about the working of miracles, the gift of faith, and the gifts of healing. And the working of miracles supersedes nature to instantaneously make it happen. That's what happened when her blinded eye was opened. That was God doing that. Well, I knew based on what I felt that it was going to be gradual with her eyesight becoming not just where she can suddenly see, no longer blind, but now 20/20. So I told her that was what was going to happen, and every day thanked the Lord for it. 4 months later, I'm in a parking lot in Springfield, Illinois, about to go into church, put on a tuxedo, and be in a friend's wedding. Pastor Timothy Potter calls me and asks me if I remember that lady, and I said yes. He said, "You know, the doctors in town did not know what to do about this blind-eyed lady now no longer being blind. But," he said, "her eye doctor, a young eye doctor, really had problems." He said last week he finally told her he figured out what the problem was. You see, he'd been changing her prescription glasses every few weeks, and they never worked. And he figured out why. He said, "I've consulted with all the older eye doctors in surrounding towns, my professors at the college I went to, and all the textbooks. And after much study and another eye exam that I can't explain, I have found out, Ozella, why none of your glasses, even your new ones, work. It's because for some miraculous reason, you now have 20/20 vision." That's the kind of Jesus we serve.
That's and it, right.
It has been my privilege to witness him do that and many, many other things.
That's awesome. You know, we recently had, in our district here, we recently had our annual youth congress. And there was a lady there in the youth congress that was healed from deafness.
Awesome.
She came in unable to hear, and they prayed for her. And the Lord opened her ears, opened her hearing right there in the meeting. And we've seen some tremendous miracles here in our local church over the years. And just recently we had, it's been several months back, we had a healing crusade. And we had a lady that she's quite a testimony. In fact, I think you've probably met her in the services, Sister Rhonda Moore. Years ago, she was nearly killed in an auto accident. And they said, "She'll never live." And prayer was made, and she survived. And the doctor said, "Well, she'll survive, but she'll always be a vegetable." And she is sharp as a tack. She's lost Amen. Nothing on her intellect. And they said, "Well, you know, she'll live, but she'll never walk again." And so then she began to be able to walk with the help of a cane and a walker. And so, but recently in that service, as prayer was made, she walked without her walker. Just that kind of thing going on. And so we have the disadvantage here of recording today prior to the Healing and Miracle campaign, and then this will be aired almost at the end of it. So we're looking forward by faith to what God's going to do.
He's going to do.
And that hinders us to be able to tell people what's already happened on this past Friday and Saturday as we recorded this prior to that time. Well, what do you think about Clarksburg? You've had pepperoni rolls for the first time, which is indigenous to West Virginia. What do you think about that?
Well, I like the pepperoni rolls. I come from St. Louis, a lot of good Italian food, but we don't have pepperoni rolls. In fact, I have to admit, that to some degree I have been paid to be on this radio show because Pastor Joseph promised I'd get more pepperoni rolls. Not that I wouldn't have done it otherwise, but he is now obligated.
I'm on the hook for more pepperoni rolls.
Wonderful people here and beautiful, beautiful country, and looking forward to being around here several more days.
Amen. Well, we're so glad you're here, and it's a shame that we weren't able to get together to record this broadcast prior to this weekend. We definitely want to get you back here as soon as we can. The presence of the Lord is so awesome and so real. Let's talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because we have some listeners in our audience that perhaps have never known that the baptism of the Spirit not only is real, but is still for today. There are a lot of churches that claim that the infilling of the Holy Ghost was done away with at the death of the apostles, and that's just not true.
No.
Tell us a little bit about the baptism of the Spirit and how many people that you've seen filled. And
right now, we've seen over 8,000 people that have received the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
It's just been an awesome God who's done it. And the promise of the Holy Ghost is to everyone. Acts 2 and 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he calls whosoever will.
That's right.
Let him come. Jesus died for the sins of all. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1 and 29. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is such a great experience because, you know, the Bible says God is a spirit, singular, John 4 and 24. And what the Holy Ghost, or the Bible also calls it the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of Father, Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, what that is that's where God's not above us in heaven, or not even around us as we worship or pray, but that's where God moves into us and becomes a 24/7, 365 experience. The Apostle Paul quoted the Old Testament prophet in telling the New Testament church believers what they had. And he said this in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, that God said through the prophet of old, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them.
Amen.
And I shall be their God, and they shall be my people.
Awesome.
And so I was not raised understanding what I understand now about the power of the name of Jesus, one God, this great Holy Ghost message. But I experienced this. I was very sincere in what I believed. And actually, the first time I received the Holy Ghost, I was in an eighth grade secular classroom. And I was not the perfect person, not that I claim to be now. But I was just a student. I was the prototypical country bully at 14. My teacher, Dick Schultz, left the classroom. Amazing, I see the hand of God in it so much. And when you look back, and the other students, I was in a class of 20 to 25, they begin to talk, and I begin to sing a song that I had heard at some fly-by-night independent church called I'll Fly Away. And I only knew the chorus, so I sung it, and my motives were not even good at first. And I began to sing it. The louder, when I sung, they talk louder, so I sung louder. And they talked louder, and I sung louder, and we escalated. Somewhere in there, my heart got to thinking about heaven. And I did not have degrees in theology and all of those things then. What happened, and what how I would explain it to you then, and I do so now, felt like somebody poured hot oil all over my body. And I began to very powerfully speak out words that I had never been taught. The Bible calls them other tongues. Their languages are tongues or words other than what you normally know. And I begin to speak them out. The girl in front of me, Ellen Fite from Elsinore, Missouri, it's happened in Grandin, Missouri, Grandin Junior High. She asked me what language that was. Well, I become red-faced. I was 14, and I closed my mouth. When I finally looked up and opened my mouth to answer, I began to speak in other tongues again. And at that time, the teacher, Dick Schultz, came in. Dick Schultz was a good teacher. He's my 8th grade science teacher. I kept my teeth clenched for the rest of the class so I wouldn't speak in tongues because the presence of God was so strong. And we were dismissed. By then, I was under control and wasn't speaking in other tongues. And Mr. Schultz, as he would often say to me, kidding, but more serious that day, said, Mr. Norman, I'd like to have a discussion with you. And he said, Mr. Norman, I came back into the classroom and I heard you. And I am a part of ABC Group that hundreds of years ago, they preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they no longer do. I believe God has baptized you with the Holy Ghost right here in this classroom. You need to talk to that United Pentecostal preacher on the hill. And so when people talk about the Holy Ghost, it is something real. It is something powerful. I've seen people get it in public. I know there are people who've got it in the cornfield, that's got it in the woods. The best place to get it is at the altar of the church. And what I would say to every listener, we've still got a Sunday night service.
That's right.
And if you've ever wondered about the Holy Ghost, if you've ever wondered and wanted more, you see, God doesn't want to just forgive us. He doesn't want to forgive us and forget us. God wants to forgive us and then live in us.
Amen.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And come this Sunday night to Christian Apostolic. I'm not just going to preach the death. I'm going to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And it's going to be powerful.
And for those listeners that are catching the second airing of this broadcast, you're hearing us from 11 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., and that Sunday night church service will have already concluded. But even for your benefit, let me say that we're a church that not only has people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost while we have a special evangelist with us from out of town, but this is something that happens in our church all the time,
Amen.
Ongoing.
Amen.
And you can, even if you've missed the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday healing and miracle campaign, you can come out to Christian Apostolic Church on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. and on any Sunday at 10 a.m. or at 6 p.m. and God can fill you with the baptism of His Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you get hungry enough for God, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now, wherever you are. I knew a preacher friend of mine, Scott Hall. He and I were, as long as we were in the same city together, he's now pastoring in a different city, and I'm up here. But as long as we were together, we were Bible study partners. And I remember once we taught a Bible study to a fella. His name was Lou, and by trade, he was a printer. And this fellow had already received the Holy Ghost by the time that we got in touch with him. And Scott asked him to tell us about his experience to receive the Holy Ghost. And I've heard of people receiving the Holy Ghost in a truck driving down the road. I've heard of people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost while they're washing the dishes, but this was a first. This fella had been studying the scriptures and hungry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he actually had climbed into the shower and was taking a shower, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost while he was taking a shower.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's a promise.
That's right. And so as the water was poured out upon him, the Spirit was poured out upon him. And one of the most precious testimonies that I've heard is to hear my mother discussing with her sisters and to hear my cousins discussing the experience of their dads, which were my uncles. My mother's family came into the truth during her generation, during her age. There are many people that, you know, they're part of a Holy Ghost-filled family that goes back several generations. In my case, our family, they were just good denominational people, went to such and such denomination. The denomination that they went to does share roots with us in the holiness movement. But like many, even though they started out in the holiness movement, by that time they had drifted away and they were no longer holiness people. It was just part of their past. It was part of their heritage. And they went to, you know, such and such church in their town. And my mother had a sister, Mildred, who had polio. And she was brilliant in her mind, but her body was crippled. And she was kind of a hero to my mother and to the whole family and to everyone that knew her. And she was very hungry for God. And my mother's sister, my Aunt Mildred, that she died before I ever knew her, she told her family, she said, "I believe if we could move to a bigger town, we could find a church that had everything that God has for us. Somehow there's something missing here." And she was just so hungry for truth and hungry for more of God. And that probably played a role in their moving from a little tiny rural town into the big city of Little Rock. And there, a Pentecostal tent revival came to town. It was a Jesus name, Pentecostal, tongue-talking tent revival.
Amen.
Miracles, healing.
Awesome.
And the children, not the mom and dad, not my grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side, but their children, my aunts and uncles and my mother, they began to slip off. They were still attending XYZ Church on regular nights, but they began to slip off to this tent revival. And the move of God, the power of the Spirit, the anointed worship, the fiery preaching, and they just loved it. But they had not, any of them, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. And my mother had two brothers. They've both gone on to be with the Lord now, Roger and Orville. And Orville was the older and Roger was the younger. And so it happened like this. Orville and Roger slipped off to go to the tent revival, and apparently there was no service this particular night. They had taken a night off. And Orville said to Roger, "Well, they're not having church at the tent meeting tonight. Let's just go in the woods and pray." And they were walking in the woods and praying. And my Uncle Roger, being the younger brother, he just idolized his older brother, Orville. And as Orville was walking in the woods and praying, Roger was literally walking in his footsteps. As Orville's foot would leave the ground, Roger's foot would hit the ground in that same spot. And Roger testified to his family, and they testified to me at the funeral and at family get-togethers and family reunions, that the Lord, in those woods, as they prayed, the Lord poured his Spirit out on Orville. He began to speak with other tongues, and as his foot left that place on the ground and Roger's foot hit that place on the ground, the Holy Ghost hit Roger.
Amen.
He literally was walking in his brother's footsteps and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Tremendous.
One step removed behind his brother. And this led to my mother receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, her sisters and other brothers, and then eventually her mother and her father. And so I'm third generation, but it was the second generation that brought the first generation in.
Amen.
And so this is a wonderful thing that I was raised knowing that the Holy Ghost baptism is real, and
yes,
that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this experience has not been done away with. It did not die away at the time of the apostles. And I want to thank you for quoting that scripture that it's to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. As long as God can still call people, he still fills people.
Brother Joseph, I'm curious. The local church here, they do have some of the one-hour strictly Bible, strictly scripture Bible studies that we have.
Yes, sir.
That show the Holy Ghost is promised to every person.
That's
today.
Right.
Awesome. Well, if you're out there, and I'm honored to be in this interview, but I just feel like I should say this. If you've never had someone show you in the Bible where it's promised to you, you owe it to yourself to get a hold of this church. Learn about how the Holy Ghost in the scripture is promised to you.
That's right. And if you want to research it on your own, if you're a little nervous about having someone meet with you in your kitchen or meeting with me in my kitchen, then go to our website. It's www.cac.us.com. And that stands for Christian Apostolic Church, and the U.S., of course, is like as in United States. www.cac.us.com. And click on Docs. There's a documents link at the top. And right there in that documents list will be a free Bible study called Ready to Be Free. And it's free of charge. But if you desire to have full freedom in your life, freedom over the power of sin, freedom over addictions, freedom over the power of sickness, God offers salvation and he offers healing. And both of these things, both salvation and healing, were paid for by Jesus' death on the cross. And that Ready to Be Free Bible study is there online. You can read it right in your browser, or you can download it and view it on your own time, on your own computer, and it will show you where the scriptures are and walk you through that. But if you will call us, we'd be happy to sit down with you over coffee at my place or at your place and actually sit down with a Bible in your lap and show you in black and white where the scripture teaches these things.
Amen.
You know, some folks don't understand because maybe they've been around a church for so long that baptizes in three titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, referencing a doctrine that says that there are three God persons and that these three God persons are co-equal and co-eternal and co-powerful. And by saying that they're co-eternal, meaning that there always have been these three God persons and there always will. People are often perplexed when they find out that we don't baptize in those three titles, but rather we baptize in the name of Jesus. Let's talk for a little bit about Matthew 28:19.
Wonderful
and,
passage.
And how Acts 2:38 is actually the proper fulfillment of Matthew 28:19.
Yeah, Matthew 28:19 is a great passage. It's one of the portions in the Gospels that record the Great Commission. We also see this in Mark 16 and Luke 24. And of course, the first thing we have to understand is that it's not enough to read the Bible. It's not enough to repeat the Bible. We must obey the Bible.
That's right.
Pastor Joseph could ask me, maybe command me, let's say, to turn the lights off. Well, if I were to look at him and say, and repeat those words, turn the lights off, that would not be obeying the command he gave me. Jesus was very clear in Matthew 28 and 18 and 19, all power, not some, not a portion, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me, he said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name, it's a singular name.
That's right.
Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The command was not repeat after me, but the command was to baptize them in the name. Now in Luke 24 and 47, he said that, and repentance and, not repentance for, but repentance and remission of sins, that's baptism,
right,
should be preached in his name.
That's right.
Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So now we have the apostles on the day of Pentecost, not just the apostle Peter, all 12 of the apostles. The other 11 stood with the apostle Peter. You can read in Acts chapter 2, begin verse 14 and go down. You'll see this. And Acts 2 and 37 says, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In today's language, we would say, how do we get right with God? Peter, being the spokesman, answered. And Peter said unto them, repent. Amen. That means to ask God to forgive you of your sins, with the sincere intention of not doing them again.
That's right.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We find in Acts 8:16, they baptized in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Acts 19 and 5, John the Baptist, they'd been baptized the way he taught, which we don't know that any name was invoked. But Paul, when he ran into John's disciples, Acts 19 and 5 says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
Paul recounts how he was baptized in the name of Jesus in Acts 22 and 16.
That's right.
In fact, he was told, here's a man that's been fasting and praying for and repenting for 3 days. And the first thing the believer preacher does when he gets to him, according to Paul, in Acts 22 and 16, Ananias, that preacher believer, said to him, and why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name
of the Lord.
Of course, the first Gentile converts, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his household, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, Acts 10 and 47. The significance of this is that the name of God, in order for you to be in covenant relationship with God,
that's right,
the name of God must be invoked over you. And when you're baptized, water baptized, in the name of Jesus, that name of God is invoked over you and placed in you. And it's very significant. I cannot stress the significance of this. Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
That's right. And the church is the bride of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And according to Scripture, from the initial marriage, Adam and Eve in the garden, God called their name Adam. He called the woman, the bride, by the husband's name. It's biblical that the wife take the husband's name. And the church is the bride of Christ. We ought to be taking the groom's name, and the groom's name is Jesus.
Well, it's only through that name, Pastor Joseph. I know we both cited so many passages, but Acts 10 and 43 is powerful. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. We can't emphasize the name of Jesus enough.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
Daniel and Tess are childhood sweethearts, well acquainted with pain and loss. Meanwhile, in another space-time, on an untainted world called Set, an unspeakable evil has been unleashed. Yet the creator of both that universe and ours was not caught off guard. Since before either realm was created, he's had Daniel and Tess in mind for saving the Korlan species from extinction. Tesseract, the latest novel by Doug Joseph. Available now. Preview Tesseract for free on Amazon. Available wherever great books are sold.